Opening your Bibles, if you would, very quickly. Book of Matthew, chapter number 9. Couple of scriptures there I want us to take up on again. We began last week, to look at the harvest through the eyes of our Lord. Glad you're here today. Jamie, good to see you too. Chapter 9, verse 35, book of Matthew. Jesus went through all the towns and villages teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. Every disease and sickness. I like that. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he says to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Last week I brought out how Barna Group had analyzed information that they had been gathering since 1984, that 33% of all Americans were totally unchurched. No contact, no affiliation with any church whatsoever. 20% of those who did have contact with the church and church membership, they believed that all you had to do was just live a good life, love everybody, and you'd make heaven. So when you look at that in its total, there's about 53% of Americans that are totally lost. Really, when you take in atheists, now that was just church people. But if you take in the atheist, those who have nothing to do with God, those that are involved in the occults, that number rises quite drastically to where possibly 75% that are in our country that's supposed to be founded upon God and His Word, 75% of Americans, possibly higher, have no hope. Are lost away from God. That's why Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful." They didn't realize that he was the Lord of the harvest. The disciples didn't realize that he was standing there. He was moved in his heart by compassion for those that he saw that was hurting. He saw their pain because he realized that there's a law of the harvest, that what you sow, you will reap. And that's happening in America. There are so many that are sowing seeds of weeds and tares and second grade grain. And they're expecting some wonderful harvest. And it's not going to happen. Let me tell you something. If you sow, how many of you know what a sand spur is? I hate sand spurs. When I was young, see, South Florida's just infested with them. They're a little tiny burr that's got thorns all over it. It looks like a sweet gum ball, except smaller with sharper thorns. And I didn't wear shoes until, I was 20. I didn't wear shoes to school or to any other place until I was in about the sixth grade. And one day I ran out in the middle of a sand spur patch. Both feet were full. And I'm walking like this, and it was hurting so bad that I sat down. Anybody ever sat on a cactus? That's what it felt like. And it hurt so bad where I sat down that I kind of rolled over. By the time I got home, I looked like a pin cushion for sure. My mom, she just said, "Sit down." I said, "I can't, Mama." So she took a scraper and scraped all the sand spurs out of me. And then she had to pick out the thorns that had broke off. It was not pleasant. If you planted one of those little sand spurs, then it would start to grow. And it put out runners. It would take over your yard if you allowed it. I've spent hours on my hands and knees pulling sand spur grass out so that they wouldn't be able to grow. What you plant is what you get. If you plant good seed, you get a good harvest. If you plant bad seed, you don't get a good harvest, you get a bad harvest. If you plant sin, you're going to reap sin. Good can't grow from bad. Because what goes in is what comes out. Jesus saw that. He knew that. He could see that the pain was going to be terrible. It was terrible. But it was going to get worse. Because the harvest doesn't end. If you've planted inferior stuff, the next year and the next year and the next year, you're going to be harvesting some of that you planted a couple of years ago. He could see this. He saw that some of them grew weary and some of them were fainting because they had been battered, troubled, hurt. And he had compassion. And he said to his disciples, "Go, get other workers, bring in the harvest so that they don't have to reap what they have sown. They can receive forgiveness and they can receive love and they can receive care." The person who can reach others for Jesus is you. As the Holy Spirit prepares the ground, As the Holy Spirit tills the ground of their heart, they can become open. What Jesus saw was the future of people that had for years sown bad seed. And he knew that there was no hope for them without somebody intervening. And his heart was broken. He could see the pain of the harvest. So that brings us to point two. He saw the potential of the harvest. Matthew 9:37 said, "Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few.'" He knew that the harvest was going to be great because it was ripe and it was ready. He looked at the crowds that were around him. He could see that they were hungry. He could see that there was need within their lives, need that could be met. He saw that plentiful harvest, and I'm sure that the disciples, all they saw was people that was pushing and shoving to get closer to their leader. If we're not careful, we start seeing people only through the eyes of masses, and we forget that there's individuals there. Those that need touching, those that need help, those that are hungry. Jesus saw that. He saw more than what the disciples saw. He saw people that needed to be saved, people that needed to be healed, people that needed their needs met. He saw a harvest that was ripe for the picking. He looked beyond their present condition, and he saw their destination, and he saw a people that could be delivered, that could be changed, that could be saved. He did not see problems. He saw potential. He knew that the kingdom of God could grow. It could add members. There could be people that could find relief. And it didn't take R-O-L-A-I-D-S. Those of you who are a little older, you remember those commercials. How do you spell relief? R-O-L-A-I-D-S. No, it's J-E-S-U-S. That is the true relief. What do we see when we go to work? What do we see when we're shopping? What do we see when we're driving around? We see masses of people, especially this time of year. I went to a Marshall's last night. I was insane. It was her fault. She has the audacity to look at me and say, "Isn't this fun?" Say, "You have gone crazy, woman." Most of us, especially this time of year, we just see masses of people. Jesus began to see individual hurts, pains, potential. They were lost. They were depraved because they didn't know him. They didn't know how to do good. They had been planting bad seed for years and years, and the harvest was there. And Jesus said, "No, I don't want them to have that harvest." People are sometimes so selfish. All we want is what we want. And we really don't see the needs of others. But what was happening during prayer time here, where there was groups and we were gathering around and we were sensing and feeling and touching others that had need, that had need of healing, and they had problems and they were suffering. That's where breakthroughs, not only for the ones that we're praying for, but those that are doing the praying. Tremendous breakthroughs. We need to start looking at people as they are and the potential that they have. We can see them as the Lord can make them whole, saved, full of joy. That's the view that Jesus had of lost people. I remember the Sunday morning in Fernandina Beach that a lady walked in a bathing suit. Yes, I remember that day. She'd been down at the beach. It was probably a mile, half mile, something like that, right down at Atlantic Boulevard. And she had walked up and passed four churches and turned on our street and walked another block and passed another church. And God said, go in this one. And she came in, and the only seat that was available that morning was right up front. And I was praying when she walked in. And it was very hard to pray watching her walk down the center aisle in a two-piece. Sat down. And the committee met her and said, you can't come in here like that. You need to get out. So she got up and walked out. And I watched all of this play out. All they saw was a bathing suit. I saw somebody that must be hurting to walk that far and come into a church like that where she didn't know anybody. So I just looked at my song leader and I said, take over. And I ran after her and called her outside. And I said, what's going on? And she told me her story. She had been abandoned. Her boyfriend, they came down from Georgia, upstate Georgia, and he took off and left her. While she was on the beach, took all of her clothes, took all of her money, took everything. I took my coat off and put around her and said, let's go back in. She said, I don't want to go in there. And I said, why did you pick this church first? She said, I just felt like this is where I needed to come. And I said, that hadn't changed. Long story short, she got saved that day. One of our precious ladies said, I've got a spare room. Would you like to come home with me? And took her home. The next day, got a call. Said, that young lady, is she still around? I said, yeah, she's going to live here. And they said, well, we've got a job for her. Tell her to come down. And another girl that was about her size gave her some clothes, and she went down and got the job. And to make a longer story shorter, next Sunday she walks in, got a beautiful dress on. Big smile on her face. She's a child of the King. That harvest that she had been planting, she didn't have to reap all of that harvest. There were some things, yeah, that was still there. The hurt was still there. But there was a newfound joy and there was a new peace. She was a part of the bigger harvest that Jesus was talking about. A year later, about a year and a half later, she got married in our church. What a joy. What a wonder. One day Jesus stood with his disciples outside the city of Samaria. Now the Samaritans were people that were so despised by the Jews of Jesus' day. The Samaritans came about by intermarriage between the Jews and the people that was sent to live in Israel by the Babylonians. They were, in the Jewish eyes, they were half-breed. Jesus went to the city of Samaria and he began to speak to a sinful woman out by the well. He saw her not just as she was, a woman that had had five husbands, and the one she was living with now was not her husband. But he saw her through the eyes of grace. He saw potential that was down inside that woman. That day, sitting beside the well, he touched her soul. And she went back into the city and she said, "Come see a man that's told me everything. Come see the Messiah." And many Samaritans were saved because Jesus sat down beside a well, knowing that he had an appointment with a lady that had been soiled by life. And he says, "I'm here to bring in a harvest so that she doesn't have to live with the harvest that she's been planting." She was a part of the plentifulness. His words to the disciples are very interesting. In John chapter 4, verses 34 through 38, he said, "My food," Jesus said, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Don't you have a saying that it's still 4 months until harvest? He said, "Yet I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage. And harvest is the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I send you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." What I'm trying to get us to understand today, what I want you to see, what I want you to know, is that every day when you step outside of your home, the place that you live, suddenly you're elbow to elbow with people who are all around you that need Jesus. If 75% or somewhere in that neighborhood are lost, then that means that 3 out of every 4 people we come in contact with need Jesus. They need hope. They need help. The harvest is truly plenteous. There's so many that are ripe for picking. We merely need to see it. And to see it, we have to look through the eyes of the Lord, the eyes of Jesus, and see those that are hurting around us. That day when I was sitting in the middle of that sand spur patch with sand spurs all over me, I didn't need very much of an invitation to get out. As a matter of fact, my cousin came along. He knew I didn't have any sense anyway. And he said, "Billy, let me help you." Oh, my name was Billy then. I changed my name to protect the innocent. I didn't need to be asked twice. One time was enough. I was ready to get out of that sand spur patch. And he helped me. There's people that are sitting in a sand spur patch right now. And they don't need much of an invitation to come out. They merely need to be asked. Then do something about it. May God help us to be able to see those that are hurting and give a kind word. A hand up. Be a blessing wherever we go. Bring hope to those who have little hope. Bow your heads with me, would you please? Jesus, how grateful I am for this awesome day, for your word, for the encouragement of the Holy Spirit. Help us see the potential that's wrapped up in the harvest. Help us to see those that we work with, those that we come in contact with every day, those that we shop with. Help us to see them as they are. Not just another person that's in our way or another person that we have to acknowledge. But let us see that they're a part of the harvest that you died for. Father, thank you for opening our eyes and our heart. Because you'll give relief to anybody that asks. You'll give peace to anybody that's troubled. You give healing to those who need it. If you're sitting here this morning with your head bowed and your eyes closed, and you're listening to the music and you're listening to what I say, if you're hurting, if you've never personally asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, if you're just going through life aimlessly, and you say, "I want some peace, I want some meaning in my life, I need some hope, I need some help." If you're sitting here and that's you, would you just slip your hand up? I want to pray for you.